Okay, welcome everyone. Mount Valley Council meeting, 10th of September 2024. Live streaming. In accordance with the council meetings administration policy, this meeting will be recorded and live streamed to the general public. The recording will remain available to the public for 6 months. If you would like to leave prior to the live streaming, please do so now. If you have any questions, please contact the governance of the department. Safety announcement. Evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to chambers. In an emergency, an alarm will sound. Wardens will assist with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in the car in an orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. Do we have audio and visual recordings on?
Not yet.
We will wait until we do have them on. Very good. Declare the meeting open at 3:01 p.m. Attendance and apologies. We have apologies from Councillor House. Any feedback? There's a leave of absence at the moment.
Very good.
Been notified, Councillor Temple.
No, it was acknowledgements.
Acknowledgement.
I'd just like to acknowledge the tremendous work of Tasnet Works in restoring power in extremely adverse conditions. I take my hat off to them. The way they're out there in the dark, in cherry pickers or elevated work platforms, as they're now called, bouncing around in the wind with rain coming down near wires that are hopefully disconnected at the time. I think they do a fantastic job for us.
It should also be extended also to all the other emergency services, yes. On the council staff as well.
Yes.
As well as SES.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, councillors. I'm sure the GM has something to add to that a little bit later on. So, yep, cannot fully endorse those comments, councillor, as well as councillor Kelly's. Anything else, councillors, from acknowledgement and announcements? Take that as no. Moving on to petitions. There was no petitions received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. Community representations. No community representations were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. We're now moving on to public question time. So we've got questions with notice that were in the agenda, pages 12 and 13. Moving on to public question time. If there are any questions without notice, moving into that. Thanks, Helen. I'll just lay the ground rules down, if that's all right. So you have 3 minutes to address council, and I will give the ding on the bell at 2 minutes and 30 seconds to let you know that you've got 30 seconds to wrap up. I'll ask you to let us know who you are when you come to the mic and address council. So, happy with Helen as the first one.
Thank you, Mayor. Dr. Helen Hutchinson, Western Creek. Since you mentioned the storms we've just had over the last week, I'm taking the opportunity to talk about Policy 91. Part 8 of Policy 91 states that in the event of a prolonged weather event in the Meander Valley local government area, the council will implement measures including use of heated and cool spaces to support vulnerable members of the community, including those over the age of 65 years and the very young. These measures will include the use of heated and cool spaces, and the council will identify facilities that would be suitable for this purpose. I'm asking what actions have been taken with regard to this.
Thanks, Helen. And you didn't use up your allotted time, so I will throw to the General Manager or to Krista, who actually set up the evacuation centres. But we actually opened up centres on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong, are there any other days we set up centres? And it was a spread, it was a wind event or a weather event, Helen, that actually we didn't have power outages right across the municipality. So we had areas of the municipality that had power with them. And I think for the first 2 or 3 days, we had no one visit our centre in Deloraine. It was actually advertised on Facebook and out in the community. I guess that was because people could get to neighbours or other places. I'm aware that there are other areas that still are without power. So anything to add to that, General Manager? But we certainly did enact that, Helen. Thank you.
Well, that's correct, Mayor. So I guess with any weather event, they can be different in nature. I guess first, when we first discussed the clause in the policy that you've referenced, Helen, we spoke about it being an extreme heat event, and this one was certainly extreme, but it wasn't the heat that was the issue. It was the wind and the effect of the power lines and the number of our community members that were without power. So the mayor stated, we set up a support centre at the Deloraine Community Complex, and that was on Monday, the 2nd of September, and it has been open each day in varying times since then, still is, and will be today. We're planning on that remaining open until Friday, and I guess the need, the numbers attending has fluctuated, but I think that it's been well received by those that have attended and needed that help.
Thank you. So I have time for the other question.
You have time for another question, Helen, yes.
Thank you. This is a little different. Part 9 of Policy 91 states that the Meander Valley Council will continue to identify opportunities to innovate in and in the way we live to build a sustainable and resilient community against climate change. It would seem that the building of the new depot could easily be identified as such an opportunity. And now that the design of the depot has gone to tender, have any sustainable elements, such as planning for EV charging, solar panels, battery storage, water tanks, passive design of offices, insulation above building codes, tree planting, etc., been included?
Yep.
What we'll do is take the question on notice, Helen. So I think that we've actually had that question from another member of the public, and we probably need to be a little bit more specific for you so we can list some items. But yes, things like tree plantings and solar panels and those sorts of things have been discussed in the design of that new build, which will hopefully occur during 2025.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Any other questions from the gallery, please? No?
Yeah.
Don't be shy. We don't bite very hard. Nothing else? All right. One more. Sorry. Just got a question that has come forward by paper. We just want to clarify.
It's like Mr. Hawk.
Just grab a microphone for you. Yeah, sure.
Hi guys, my name's Graham Roper. I live right next to the McDonald's site, or the proposed site. My question is for you guys. Have you actually read the 705-page document that was first issued when the applications came out? And have you read the 1,080-page document that was released on the 5th of September when I received it?
It's up to each individual council to answer that question for you. I can actually state from my point of view, it is part of our agenda item. It is up to us as councillors to read the information, the qualified advice that's put in front of us. So yes, I've looked at every page. And our agenda at the moment sits at over 1,200 pages.
Does that mean the rest of them have looked at it as well?
Can't comment for the rest of them. They can individually say yes or no if you want to go around the room. But
on indulgence, I've read every page of this agenda and every one of every meeting I've attended. So, yes, I have.
Thank you, Mayor. I've read through it, I don't know, I reckon at least 5 times. I didn't have a weekend.
Thanks, Councillor.
Are we going to do this
individually? It's up to you, Councillor.
Okay. I feel like this is going to, everyone's going to gradually. I've read it more times. Look, to be honest, it's a huge agenda. It really is. But we have been looking at this application for months now, and we get it in workshops and in different pieces. So, yeah, we read it often and a lot. And that's one of the joys of being on council is we have occasionally we'll have small agendas that don't take up a lot of our weekend time. And sometimes we have planning applications that are 1,000 pages. And so that's what we spend our weekends doing. So, yeah, it is a lot.
We only get a few days.
Sorry, that's just the legislation requirement comes out. Any other questions?
Can I?
It's Councillor Sidwell, sorry.
Yeah, no, I can't put hand on heart and say I've read the entire document that came out on the other day, but hopefully between the various workshops and the previous versions that I've seen, then yes, I have seen the entire document and hopefully have it on board enough to make an informed decision.
Thank you.
I could add to that and say ditto, but also there's so much in there, it's enough to bamboozle anybody.
There's a lot of information, absolutely. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I can say that I've glanced through that. Whether I fully understand the whole document, I can put my hand on heart and say I possibly don't. We do engage a lot of professionals, however, within our organisation, that if we have questions, we use their knowledge and the time and effort that they've all put into it. We draw on them for confirmation.
Thank you. Councillor Smedy, you're last.
I reinforce the point that Michael just made, that it's very difficult to read it's really considerable. I must point out, though, that one of our professional officers, Tash, who's just here, has done a mighty job preparing the documentation and providing very good advice to us all. So So I'm really pleased that that's been forthcoming. It's helped us considerably.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other questions from the floor? If not, I'll close public question time. So those that ask questions, if you can actually email a written copy of questions to the OGM at mbc.tas.gov.au by tomorrow, or you can hand the question in, you'll find a clipboard and forms with pens and reception. That's for the benefit of our agendas going forward. Moving on to councillor question time. No questions on notice were received from councillors for this meeting. Are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Temple.
No, I've got a few, but the first one, Mr Mayor, is there any update on a proposed prison?
Well, John, you probably would have seen the news a week and a bit ago. It was one Friday afternoon where the state have announced that they will not be building the proposed northern prison at Ashley. We don't know really what their plans are going forward for this site of Ashley. So unless the GM has had any correspondence with the Department of Justice, I haven't. So I can't give you much more than that, John.
Mayor, that's right. Honourable Madeleine Ogilvie, MP, released a media statement at around 3:30 on Friday, the 30th of August it was, and then provided a copy of that to Council about 30 minutes after that had occurred. So I guess we became aware of the state government's position then, and really, Council knows is what was provided in that statement late on the Friday. So, and I'll just read a quote if you like, Mayor, which may give Councillor Temple that clarification. So it says, following a long consultation period, the government will not proceed with the previously planned new Northern Correctional Facility and will instead prioritise modernisation of existing facilities, expanding rehabilitation and reintegration programs, and updating operational systems to better serve the community. So, unfortunately, that's the update that we have received.
Thank you, Jim. Did you have another question, Councillor?
Well, I must say it's interesting that this seems to draw the matter to a finality from what has been said. I don't think the state government has got the merest idea of the angst it's caused in our community. The people that were living here happily, that moved to other places, what it put the community through on both sides, and the people that didn't want it, those that hoped that it was going to end up having employment in some, either in construction or at the facility. So, my question is, I don't know what the government will learn from this, but should we be writing to the government to reinforce that concern that it caused so much of a problem in the community, and it wasn't handled well at any stage, in my opinion, and give them some insights on how the department or the government itself could handle such things better in the future? Or should we write to them to see if they want any insights without handing them to them gratuitously?
And going forward, Councillor Temple, we will be writing to them and asking what their plans are for the site of Ashley. And that allows us then to, I guess, extrapolate on your comments. We've certainly told them in the past that we haven't been happy with the communications that they've brought forward to this table. They're aware of it. It doesn't seem to be actually sinking in. I've had discussions with two ministers since the announcement was made. I don't think they actually get it, but we will just keep trying. So, yeah, understand where you're coming from, Councillor, but we'll see what happens going forward.
And with your indulgence, I have another question on another matter.
One more, Councillor.
And that is, the weather event last week brought home to me that modern technology had its limitations. Telephone communications, all sorts of things that would have worked in 2016 when we had a previous major event, didn't work this time around. I'm wondering if we can have a workshop item to look at this and see what we can learn from it and how we can perhaps write to various other bodies to improve the situation for next time.
Thanks, Councillor. I'm sure there will be a debrief at a future workshop on our response as Meander Valley Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Sindhu.
A follow-up on the prison. I mean, there's still people in the community who are concerned that the wording of the announcement, which says there will be no northern correctional facility, there is talk out there of perhaps having a women's prison, which you tend to think falls under the other definition. If you're going to be asking some questions, can we get clarity, you know, in terms of future use of that site? They've also used terms like reception facility. Is that code for a remand facility? As I understand it, a remand facility requires a maximum security facility to be constructed, which effectively is a prison. So I think the community deserves to know, without equivocation, that there'll be no prison or prison-related, whatever word you use, in respect of that site going forward. That would bring some finality and clarity to the community. So my question is, can we, when we're wording up whatever we're asking them, that we take those things into account in formulating those questions to the government, please?
Happy to ask those questions, councillors. It will depend on what answer they decide to give us, as you're fully aware. Thank you. Any other questions, councillor? So I'm just going to hand over to General Manager just to give us an update on the weather event that we've had on us in the last 2 weeks.
Thanks, Mayor. Yes, so as mentioned a couple of times already today, I guess both council operations, but more importantly, a large proportion of our population base in Meander Valley has been affected in some way. Some quite significantly by the extreme weather events that we experienced a week and a half ago. So I guess in the lead up, we have received information from SES and the Bureau of Meteorology in the week leading up to Friday the 30th of August, and that allowed us to make some provisions to prepare for the water event, not so much the wind and power interruptions that followed. So. But we did have a heads up there, and we had made some provisions. Our works employees have been working enormously around the clock in some instances. From starting 11 p.m. on Saturday, the 31st of August, we've had hundreds of trees down, large and small. Some of those are easy to be moved, and some certainly not. Access has been an issue for many of our roads, many property owners within Meander Valley. We've had roads closed due to water on roads and power lines down on roads, which is obviously a risk, a danger to members of the public, but also has stopped their access to their properties at times, which has been very restricting. We've had power outages, they were in the thousands from Saturday the 31st of August. I'm pleased to see that's certainly decreased materially down to around 60 currently. So certainly better than we were, but 60 is obviously still far too harsh for those that have been without power for over a week. And I do note that the state government has made some provisions for a financial compensation, which will ease some effects to those people. So we've had many areas of the community affected, isolated. Without power, council's offices on that Monday were without power, internet, mobile reception, couldn't contact anybody, very much interrupted. We still made other arrangements to take calls from community throughout that day, so we were still receiving calls all of that day and night and attending to what we could, and a lot of those were immediate responses, but a number will be a response effort that will take over the next month to try and get us back to where we were. As also mentioned, we opened a community support centre on that Monday, the 2nd of September. On day two, we had was it 28 people that came through the door. So obviously there was a demonstrated need, and we currently have that service still opening, and hopefully, depending on the numbers that are attending, we'll be in a position to close out at some point within the next week. Yeah, but I guess for me, it's been very impressive to see the response of a number of our community members, the SES, the people that have put their hand up to help out, and yeah, some amazing efforts within that, but also within our employee base and the people that have come in, you know, at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. to try and restore services to help out our community also. So that's probably the update from me, man.
Thank you, General Manager. On a follow-up to that as well, Council Temple acknowledged the TAS Networks crews that were out fixing the power lines. It was actually our crews that went out and cleared the trees off the road to let those services go through. So I want to thank those crews who were out doing that. Thank you.
Did you have some certificates of appreciation at some point?
Well,
yeah. I was just wondering if it might be appropriate that we moved a motion to thank our council staff for the work that they've gone through. I mean, they always do an amazing job, but they've been doing a particularly good job in the last probably 10 days or so. And
so you are moving a motion, Councillor Cameron?
If you'll accept it.
I'll accept it.
I'd like to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Temple. And you will get the words that can be edited in.
I might, yeah. Yeah.
So, any discussion, councillors, while it's a motion that's on the books? If not, all Councillor Dudman.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll just take the opportunity to echo the sentiment that's being shared around the room. I know that throughout the last week it's been quite a challenging time across the Meander Valley. I myself have received some damage that I'm trying to get sorted. But the council response right across the community and for the community has been wonderful. I know that it doesn't matter what time I've called some of our council staff during this week for different matters, for people needing assistance in our community. They've always been there. It has been a tiring week for the staff, but they haven't complained about that. They've put the community first, and I think that should absolutely be commended. So more than happy to support this motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Lyder.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd also like to throw my support against this motion as well. Particularly, I would like to acknowledge those staff who've been at the will at the community centre, working extra hours and making it comfortable for people who are in distress.
Thank you. Any other comments, councillors? If not, Councillor Kelly, sorry.
Yeah, look, I extend it to the whole of our workforce, the things we do, whether it be floods, wind, all the events that we have where they're outside of their operating hours, cleaning up, tidying up, filling up sunken culverts, goes across the board, so, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just affirm all those comments made, and just also note the fact that the last, probably since 2011, these events are getting bigger and bigger and affecting us as an organisation profoundly in terms of the amount of effort required. You know, they go on for weeks and months. You deal with the immediate
cleaning up roads and whatever,
but, you know, some of the floods of, you know, restoring edges of roads, etc., has gone on for a long, long time. So that impacts on the other normal work we do. And so, yes, it's a credit to us that we, as an organisation, that we're able to handle it, resilience, I guess. But it seems to be a reflection that, you know, the modern world's more complex and all the rest. But, yes, these events are happening far too often. And but we deal with them as they come, and so it's a credit to the staff and the other organisations as well that are required to deal with these matters. And bushfires, floods, all these things, they're never neat and tidy. They are, you know, you're out in atrocious conditions quite often trying to respond, so absolutely all power to those that are working in that space.
Thank you. All right, we'll let it go. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Okay. So Council will now act as a planning authority. So under the provisions of Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council act as a planning authority in regard to items included in Agenda Item 11, Planning Authority Reports. Our first one is PA 23-2. 02173345 to 347 Westbury Road, Prospect Vale, page 17. We have members of the public who would like to speak to this matter, so if I just go back to my front page. We have Blanche from Ratio, who's not in attendance, I don't think. Not yet. She might make it, you're saying? Okay. Josh Hennessy from McDonald's, Josh. So if you would like to take the microphone, and for those that are making their representation, you have 3 minutes to make the representation. I will ding the bell at 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So, and it's not a question and answer session. It is a statement. It's not a debate session. So, thanks, Josh. Over to you.
Hello, Mayor, councillors and general public. My name is Josh Hennessy. I'm a senior development manager at McDonald's, looking after the Tasmania and South Australian markets. Just a first little apology. Blair flew in from Melbourne today, and the plane's been delayed multiple times. That's the reason she's delayed, but she will be here in 2 minutes, hopefully. Just want to thank everyone for the opportunity to speak to the permit application today. Hopefully you'll see from the response we've actively taken the council's and public's feedback on board. This is through various iterations or changes to our plans, which Blair will be able to talk to in further detail. The benefits of having McDonald's in the township include employment of over circa 100 employees, predominantly the youth, an investment of $5 million into the local community. It's a local licensee who will be running the restaurant, who has 7 restaurants in the broader Launceston area. He's also involved in multiple local sporting teams and local groups, and we source a variety of our food from local Tasmanian farmers and producers.
Good. All right, thank you. We have Graham Rapata. Yep, Graham, sorry. Again, Graham, 3 minutes, so take your time.
I've read through your vision statement for Meander Valley Council. I've looked for a mission statement, which I haven't found. These things I've written a lot of over my years of various jobs. And I found a few interesting things where you actually, on section 4 under your first Meander Valley scheme, it says that you're after a healthy well-being needs of all sectors of the community, and you plan to meet and manage them through your local facilitator. Having McDonald's there, this is one of them. Public health and safety is another one of your things you've got on your website. Standards are regulated, managed and maintained, again, through your facilitator. Seriously, if you're seriously concerned about public health and knowing that McDonald's is one of the worst food outlets in the world, failing to meet on occasions even the lowest standards of food hygiene, and you approve this application, then your policies, which you write on your website, mean absolutely nothing, and you guys are accountable for it. Further down on page 7, it also says that assessing the process, that again, population health statistics, and your first one that you have listed under that is obesity, diabetes, smoking. Tasmania already has the highest smoking rate in Australia. And we don't need to have McDonald's dumped in the middle of Prospect where a lot of other businesses which could improve Prospect instead of McDonald's, which will contaminate that and our children and the rest of it. And you as councillors need to take responsibility for that. If I asked you guys if you'd like a McDonald's stuck next door to your place, I guarantee every one of you would say no. Then why should we have one against us? I just wrote a few notes out this morning, and I'm just skimming through some of the stuff. And on this agenda, this 1,080-page one that we received last week, and as you said, you guys have had it for a number of months, we've been going over it, chilling it. I have little value in the ratio consultants. They show you pictures of streets with no cars on them. You ask anyone that lives there what it's like to try and get in and out of the driveways there. It's terrible. You also have a declaration of interest. A councillor must declare any interest that the councillor has in a matter before the discussion on the matter commences. And if you refer to page 17, it's also recommended, if you guys have read all this, that you accept this proposal. So I ask you, what are you going to do? To me, that's a conflict of interest, and you should cancel this meeting right now. Because if you've been told to accept this proposal, then it goes back to page 17, section 11, through the planning authority reports that you're not fit to stand and make a judgment on this.
Thanks, Graham. Your time's up. Thank you. I have Lorraine Degata.
My name is Lorraine DeGetta. I'm speaking on behalf of my husband, Luciano, Lou, and myself. We live at 8 Crew Street. Our house backs onto the back of McDonald's proposed site at Prospect Bay. I would like to thank the Meander Valley Council, in particular team leader, planning, Natasha Whiteley, Mayor Wayne Johnson, Deputy Mayor Stephanie Cameron, Councillors Anne-Marie Lauder, Kevin House and Ben Dunman, who came to look and listen to our concerns. We don't want McDonald's at the back of our block, but after looking at the amended plans, our concerns are somewhat lessened. At least now we have a drive-through speed that's more than 3 metres from our back fence. We do not want the drive-through open 24/7 for safety and security, and to also reduce night noise. Thankfully, this has been amended. Our main concern now is the fumes from the car exhausts and the cooking odour. My husband is very worried about his garden and his grapevines. The fumes may affect his winemaking, very important, which he has done here at 8 Chris Street for more than 50 years. Will it mean we won't be able to spend our leisure time the same under the grape-covered pergola with family and friends as usual because of the scent fumes? My husband has a respiratory problem and I have asthma. If the building does go ahead, we hope that McDonald's do not come back and want the drive-through amended to 24/7, to which we would definitely oppose. Thank you for listening to me, and as we said in our objection, our home is our castle, referring to the Australian movie The Castle. Those who've seen it will know what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine. Do I have anybody else who wishes to speak? Yeah, thank you.
My name's Yvonne DeWitt. I'm here on behalf of my mother and father who own the units that are on the Westbury side of the block that McDonald's is planning on building on. Our major concern is the health and wellbeing of our tenants. We have 4 units which actually sit on that fence line, less than 4 metres away from the fence. They're elderly tenants, they're long-term tenants. Rents are low. Their choices, if they wish to move away from that unit, are relatively low considering the rentability in Launceston at the moment. So they have very little choice. None of them would like to be living with a McDonald's on their backyard. I wouldn't. Being elderly, they spend a fair bit of time outside. I don't think they'll enjoy that very much anymore either. That is our major concern. Their right to their mental health and stability after a good night's sleep, even with the hours reduced to between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. I mean, it's only 7 hours, 7 hours of good sleep. They're also entitled to 2 hours of peace and quiet before going to sleep, and at least that for their breakfast. Jim's operated during business hours, didn't operate on the weekends, didn't operate on public holidays. So even though he had a car yard there, it didn't affect them when they wanted their leisure time. I think they're entitled to it. They have a right to a healthy life, and I don't think McDonald's is the place for it to be in the residential area.
Yep. Thank you. Are there any other questions? representations.
Just in the nick of time. It's on?
Yep.
All right. Hello, councillors. Just cutting it fine is probably an understatement. My name is Blanche Manuel. I'm from Ratio Consultants and I represent McDonald's as their town planner today. You've obviously heard my client Josh speak prior about McDonald's and the business and the way that they operate. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and I also wanted to extend my thanks to the Meander Valley planning team, particularly Natasha, who's put a lot of effort into this application. Put simply, what you've got before you today is a convenience restaurant in a general business zone. This is a site with former commercial uses. It's located on a main road, and it's in a zone where commercial activity is allowed. However, it's also a site that we acknowledge has a number of residential interfaces, and so the primary test for this application is whether or not the use causes unreasonable loss of amenity to the residential zones, and the really critical word there is unreasonable. And the word unreasonable needs to be viewed in the context of what the expectations might be should you live next to a general business zone. And that's something that you need to be mindful of today. As outlined in the officer report, there are 15 discretions triggered as part of this application, and the council planners have the discretion to approve or refuse the application based on the assessment of those discretions. They relate to matters such as use, built form, fencing, parking and traffic, and others. And so having regard to all of those matters, numerous technical reports and extensive consultation, we, on behalf of our clients, have sought to put forward a proposal that addresses the concerns raised. And I apologise for not being here to hear the other representations made, but I've reviewed all of the representations and I acknowledge that there's been some public interest in this matter. And following a review of those representations, we really knuckled down with Natasha and said, okay, what can we do to beat this application into shape? And by that I don't mean it was an application that was flawed, but it was an application that we, having read the representations, acknowledged could be better. And so those changes were proposed either via recommendations that Natasha has made in the officer report. Those are physical changes to the drive-through, physical changes to the fencing, physical changes to the acoustic barriers, as well as operational changes. And one of those operational changes which might have been discussed is closing of the drive-through between particular hours. Now, the really critical piece there is the council had the acoustic report peer-reviewed. That acoustic engineer supported the closing hours for the drive-through, and it was found that on that basis the proposal meets the test being that there should be no unreasonable amenity impacts. And so going back to those 15 discretions that the officers can approve or refuse, they've recommended approval today based on 15 areas where they have discretion. This application ticks 15 discretional boxes via what was submitted, by the reports presented, and by the conditions that your officers have recommended.
30 seconds to wrap up, Madge.
And this is a reflection of a proposal that responds to its interfaces, and it responds, really importantly, it responds to the requirements of the planning scheme and what the general business zone seeks to be assessed. And it does that while introducing a new business into Prospect Vale. This is an area where, you know, various strategic documents talk about the economy, and this use brings positive economic outcomes and really, really positive employment outcomes. So on that basis, it's our submission today that you should stand by your officer's recommendation on those 15 discretions, support their recommendations, support the conditions that they've put forward, and issue a permit for this application.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillors.
Are there anybody else that wants to speak, please? No? We'll move on. Thank you for those that have stood up and made a representation. We'll now move into the item itself. I'm after a mover and a seconder. Councillor Loader is a mover. Seconder, Councillor Smedley. Councillor Lader is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I speak to the motion, I'd like to note that councillors move a motion to get the discussion happening. It doesn't necessarily mean that they support it. So bear with me, I've written something today. This application has caused angst for the people who live in the neighbouring homes. I note that the applicant has sought to address these concerns in their updated plans. McDonald's is a much-loved family restaurant. My personal experience includes treating my children to an affordable meal, then a play in the playground, which was a really good break for a weary mum. McDonald's restaurants give many Australians the opportunity of employment. In my literacy work, I know of several clients who over the years have been given the opportunity at McDonald's and have then gone on to thrive in other areas because of their experience at McDonald's. McDonald's are wonderfully generous with sponsorship of sporting clubs, and a local Meander Valley club is a recipient. McDonald's Australia say they are committed to being a good neighbour and that they take community concerns and feedback seriously. While not essential, it would have been kinder if the applicant had consulted with the neighbouring properties before submitting the first draft of their development application. Initially, I had great concerns about this application. The changes to the location of the drive-through and the recommended conditions from planners have gone some way to alleviate my concerns. Particularly, I'm pleased to see that the drive-through recommendation is to close between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. instead of operating 24 hours a day, and that truck movements and noise conditions have been applied. The traffic on Westby Road at Prospect Vale is already a huge concern without this development adding to traffic movements. Being able to safely cross the road around Prospect Vale Marketplace area is an issue that has been voiced to me by many residents. There are a number of conditions in place to make this area safer. I have to accept the expert advice that these conditions will be sufficient to keep pedestrians and road users safe. The application documents are lengthy and complex. It's not easy to wade through them and then write a representation. For those residents that did, thank you for letting council know your thoughts and concerns. I walked around the area several times in preparation for today. Even with the amended plans that now consider some of the residents' concerns, a McDonald's restaurant will change the environment that the neighbours now experience. The planners have burnt the midnight oil on this application. They have considered it carefully against the Act and included robust conditions with their recommendation for approval. At this point, I am reluctantly obliged to support, but am very pleased that should this application be approved, it will be closely monitored and that community feedback will be taken seriously.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Smedley is the second of the motion. Put your microphone in, please, Councillor.
Thank you. I'm conscious, just my initial notes were around the scale of this offering from McDonald's. It's obviously a significant restaurant chain worldwide, as we all know, and certainly within Australia as well. I'm encouraged overall by the notion that that type of opportunity would be forthcoming in Meander Valley in the Prospect Vale area. Growing area with lots of young families, so that's an important consideration from my point of view because of the opportunity that it might present to young people in the area. I'm also very aware of the concerns of nearby residents. That is a concern, obviously, but I'm also mindful that this whole site is really an eyesore. It's been in place for many, many years. It's a dangerous site in many regards. Lots of considerations there for me to be considering as well. As Anne-Marie mentioned, the work of the planners, in particular Tash, I've mentioned already at this meeting and earlier, is exceptional and very thorough. This is certainly the biggest document and work that I've seen come to council in my time on council and before when I was involved in council. So that gives me some real assurance that we're considering this appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you as well to everyone who's made a representation both here today and also online in paper form. I will reiterate that absolutely we've read every, well, I've read every item that's come before me here, made sure that every word has been cross-referenced and I am fully across the brick, and it is with that in mind that I'm inclined to support this application. The initial proposal that came forward, version one, I had deep concerns with, and I'll be honest, I would have been unlikely to support that on the basis of the noise retention and the impact upon neighbouring properties. However, I am not one to often give credit to conglomerates. I will refrain from seeing the red flag, but it's just not my style. But in this instance, I will give credit where due. McDonald's has come to the table and provided what I think is quite the reasonable proposal. And I think we've heard that too from Mrs. DiGetto in terms of the changes that have been made that makes what is an imposing application a little less so and a little bit more palatable for those who live around it. And I refer especially to the limitations on the hours, which of course we are looking to impose for the drive-through, but also moving the drive-through 4.4 metres away from the boundary fence and imposing additional acoustic fencing, which will limit the noise that will be transferred across the boundary of the property there. So in terms of the traffic concerns as well, I take note of the concerns that are being shared, especially we all know that road is quite a busy one and it's only getting busier. However, I also accept and respect the report that's been provided to us and the management process that is being proposed. I won't preempt debate, but there has been a lot of discussion about the hours of the drive-through and in particular whether the 11pm to 6am closure is not long enough. And I did myself have considerations I made about proposing different hours there. But in the end, I've decided that I am content with the proposed hours on the basis that there will be ongoing monitoring under the conditions of this application. And if we find that there is odour issues, that there is noise issues, and we will be obviously in consultation with neighbouring residents about this, there is the opportunity to file an environment protection notice, which will, in my mind, better protect residents against nuisance than it would if we potentially had an argument in TASCAT over the hour, 1 hour of operation, which I would be reluctant to do, especially considering noise in Tasmania is frankly not well governed. I'm never one wanting to be a test case, especially when I think there is a perfectly good solution and possibly a better solution in ongoing monitoring and the inclusion of APNs. In terms of the concerns about the residential area, I think that is a legitimate concern, but it is an issue with the makeup of the planning scheme and the way that the overlay has been applied here. The fact is it is unusual, but in this instance we do have a business zone bordering a residential zone. And whilst we need to work in balance with those two zones, we need to also respect the ability for both zones to operate under their intended purpose, which is obviously business in the business zone and residential property in the other. And so I think that this has the opportunity to strike that balance. Look, to be honest, I take the point that often we find ourselves reluctantly obliged to support development applications based on the assessment. And this instance, I just find myself supporting it because I think it is reasonable, and it is reasonable with the caveat of the protections that we're putting in place under the conditions for the ongoing monitoring. Personally, my first job was at a McDonald's in 2014. It's not a job I'd like to go back to, no offence, but that's because it was, to be honest, the hardest job I've ever had, and full credit to all the young people who do work at McDonald's. I think it's a great entry to the job market, and I'm looking forward to seeing people from the Meander Valley cutting their teeth in the workforce there. So thank you again. This application does have my support.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Dunham. I think, you know, in my wildest dreams would I have ever expected to see a application to McDonald's in the Meander Valley? Probably not. So this is, it's a huge deal for a lot of people, particularly those residents close by. And I think Councillor Loader was correct in saying it would have been a lot better maybe if McDonald's had taken that time to go and speak to the families that live, the direct neighbours. I know that when we went out, it gave us a whole new perspective of what was going on. And as Councillor Dudman said, the first proposal that came to us, it wasn't going to cut it. I said to the DeGettos that Tash is exceptional at her job and she wasn't a pushover. So I think she's proven that today. And I really want to thank you, Tash. I think you've probably had a few dreams about McDonald's too in your time and probably will. But we really appreciate the work you've put into this. It's huge, and so thank you for that. But look, McDonald's cops a pretty bad rap, and there's many things, you know, one of the representatives talks about obesity. We can't assess that under the planning scheme. It's just not a thing that we can make a decision on. But McDonald's does do some good things. You know, they talk about a $5 million investment. They talk about jobs. You know, there are negatives. You know, you see Macca's packets everywhere, and it drives me insane. But I do like that they invest back into the community in sponsorship, as well as the importance of Ronald McDonald House, which I have experienced myself. So I do really appreciate that McDonald's do give back to the community. The things that have probably helped change the mind for me from that first application that came before us that we hammered back pretty hard are things like the no right turn restrictions. That's been important to me for traffic safety concerns. Restricted hours from the drive-through, the largest setback from the fences. It's a really important one, especially for Lou's winemaking, which is a particularly important thing to make reference of, because I think that you'd be very good at that. And the noise and odour monitoring plan, so 3 and 12 months, it's really important for me as well to know that we're going to be keeping an eye on things like that, as well as the public complaints register. So those things are, I guess, the things that I've taken into account while assessing this application. But happy to hear from the other councillors as well.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Open up for any discussion. Councillor Temple.
Thank you. I've just got a couple of points to add. Personally, I'm happy with 24-hour drive-through, but only for people who have disabled parking permits. The rest of us are capable of walking in the front door. And I think the hours should be limited, and limited a little bit further than 11 p.m, as everyone else is capable of driving through the front door, not having their engines idling in a long queue, and which is of concern to the neighbours. Yes, I've heard all this about ongoing monitoring, but I'm not aware of council working in that space before. You know, where else do we do ongoing monitoring? Do we have a system for doing it? How regularly will it be done? Or is it just when a neighbour complains? I'd like a little more understanding of that, please.
Generally, yeah, you're right, Councillor. It would be upon a complaint. We have undertaken monitoring, I guess, infrequently, and we don't have any that are currently being monitored, so that you're probably right in the assumption that you've made. It would be upon a complaint that we would look at what monitoring would be required. So none currently in progress.
Councillor Smedley.
I just have a couple of questions. I know I've raised these earlier, but I'll just get you to clarify on Tash or whoever you'd like to get the answer. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So right-hand turns onto Westbury Road are prohibited at St Patrick's College in the southern and northern ends of the Prospect Vale marketplace. Is this a common and effective solution, and should right-hand turns onto Westbury Road be extended to a total prohibition for this development also? That's it.
State your name for the...
Richard Berg,
yep.
Traffic and Civil Services.
Yep.
been in the roads and traffic industry for 37 years. In traffic management, we try to treat the issues at hand. And the issue at hand here is the P&P and being able to turn right out onto Westbury Road. Other times of day, it's reasonable to do that. And what we try to do is provide credible management for the road user community. And if we were to impose a blanket right turn, there are safety issues with that because people wouldn't necessarily follow it at all, knowing that certain parts of the day they can easily turn. So in my mind, this is the safest option. We're treating the problem, and in reality, we don't know what traffic growth we're likely to see going forward. There are so many variables, we haven't got a crystal ball. So it may be, in time, that ban may need to be increased, and it may not need to be. But this is an overall comment. I think the right-hand turn ban that's proposed is very reasonable for the situation.
Thanks, Richard. Do you have another?
I did have a second.
Yep.
If I could. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The current streetscape at the site, Jim's, is an eyesore and unsafe for pedestrians, vehicles entering and exiting across the full 70-odd metres length of the site. Will the new development exacerbate or mitigate the risks to pedestrians?
So with the with the conditions that we provide footpath, urban channel along the front of that side, that will and also the access, the single access point to the site, that will effectively reduce the area of conflict that could be established between pedestrians and vehicle movements. So in saying that, what is being proposed should be a benefit to pedestrians.
Thank you.
My chance to have a say, I guess. There's been a few around the table. I'm like a few of the other councillors here. The question was asked from the floor, would you like a Macca's beside your place? No, probably not. But if the planning scheme is as it is at the moment, where you have general residential and you have business and so forth, it is based on the assessment which has been done, which is what our planners have done. The Digetos, I went there and looked. And I've got to say, the first plan that was put up by Macca's, I probably wouldn't have been in favour of that at all. So well done for actually going back, but you probably should have done that in the first instance when you first thought about it. Hopefully you take that on board. There are issues around there, and there's certainly some issues raised. We are looking, and again, Tash has been praised, the planning staff have been praised. You've done an amazing job at presenting us what you've done, Tash. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one sitting here as a councillor. Because to make a decision that will affect people's lives, and we do that every time we meet, every month, we sit here. But if the rules are as the rules are, we follow them. We could turn this application down. There is no doubt we could turn it down. It would go to TASCAP. It would cost the ratepayers thousands of dollars, and they would override us. I have no doubt about that at all, which is what Councillor Dubman has alluded to. It is tough going. There is thousands of pages here. But we look at the recommendations that have come forward by qualified advice and taking on board what the representatives have put forward. It's a tough decision, but at the moment I will be voting in favour of the recommendation. That's my turn. Councillor Kelly.
Look, I don't have a lot to add to what all the others have added, other than we're acting as a planning authority, which means all emotions have got to go out of it. It's got to be based on science and knowledge and expert advice. I do, however, want to congratulate McDonald's for going back to the drawing board and listening to all those that have put in representations and redesigning it. I really do tilt my hat because it's so easy just to punch forward and ride over small councils like us with a big organisation like McDonald's. So I do really appreciate that you've gone and done that. And to all the other people that have put in the representations, we do really appreciate it. However, we have a decision to make based on facts.
Any other councillors? Any other councillors in field?
Yeah, I suspect I'm out in a very different paddock on this one. And I'll probably make my comments before I make the questions, given that that seems to be how it's being approached today, largely. I have no aversion to a McDonald's per se. I wouldn't say I'm a regular user, but and I can't think of the term I came up with earlier, but I use them, have used them many times over the years. So it's not the quality of their product, and that's not what we're looking at today. My problem is that the zoning, whether or not it's right, it is what it is, but the general business zone, in no small measure, is interested in terms of this venture in its impact on the adjoining properties. I have suggested at pre-council meetings that an amendment to restrict the hours for not only the drive-through but the restaurant itself, in other words, closing it entirely outside of what the acceptable solution hours are. Well, to get back a step, I actually think there'd be other sites far more appropriate to a venture of this size and scale and its impacts. I, however, am required to make a decision as a decision-making body on what is presented before us today, and I won't be supporting the application. I just do not believe that the measures taken are sufficient to ameliorate or not result in an unreasonable loss of amenity to the surrounding properties. And as I say, the general business zone is very significantly focused on the impact of any residential zone that might be within 50 metres. So it's not asking you what's the impact on surrounding dwellings, etc., residential area that's within 50 metres. That's simply the trigger for what the broader area might be impacted. And in my view, this has a significant impact. I'm not convinced. You know, we're required under the Act to seek qualified advice, and I largely have no issue with the qualified advice, but it is subjective at the end of the day. It is a qualitative assessment in numerous areas, and it's not necessarily that the, you know, on the one hand, you can purists say, okay, we hive off into a whole lot of separate boxes, the impact of noise, separately look at the impact of lights, separately look at odours. It's far more complex than that. And the wording of the scheme is such that you are to have regard to those matters, and the courts both here and nationally have said that that isn't that you look simply at the listed items and nothing more. You are required to look at those items, and you are to more, or in certain circumstances, to more broadly look at the impact. That's an established principle, and rightly so. In my view, I just do not see that restricting the drive-through and not restricting access to the site itself is sufficient. So I would have proposed an amendment such that we close this facility outside the scheme's acceptable hours, or even have considered that closing it at 10 o'clock when the nearby Prospect Vale marketplace closes and the service station closes. But I'm informed that that would be too significant a change, and that we would in fact be refusing the development outright. Well, I'd probably prefer that to what is likely to occur with just a restriction on the drive-through. So I'll probably leave that at the moment and just say, yes, I cannot support this proposal because it's my personal opinion that the detriment, I'm not convinced that there won't be an unreasonable loss of amenity and that it won't be material. And I believe it's not a good outcome long term. So it's not just who may be living there next door at the moment and how long they've been there, but it will have very long lasting impacts on the surrounding area, in my view, for years to come. And to go back to my earlier point, I think there were better ways with dealing with this, let alone a better site, and probably one that's very close by. But as I say, that's not the application before us today.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other councillors? No other comments, questions, queries? Councillor Temple?
I'd like to foreshadow an amendment to the motion, and that's simply that the 11 o'clock be reduced to 10 p.m.
So you are moving an amendment motion?
Yes, I'll move that as an amendment.
So yeah, we'll just take it.
So, Mr. Mayor, just to be clear, Councillor Temple, your proposed amendment is to the conditions in the recommendation, hours of operation, which would be 4B relating to the drive-through, with a change being from the recommendation hours being operate daily only between the hours of 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. as reflected in the following table, and there is a table to state 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And your proposed amendment, which is currently without a seconder, is for that to be changed to 10 p.m. So 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you, General Manager.
Right. So Council Temple has foreshadowed an amendment. Do we have a seconder to that motion?
I would support the discussion about an amendment. So yes.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Simpson.
Seconder.
So we'll just get the amended motion up so that we can make sure that we're looking at it, be aware of it. Bear in mind, councillors, that we're now talking about the amended motion, and that's what we will be talking about and voting.
Yeah, that may be a little bit difficult to demonstrate, Councillor. Sorry, Mayor, but just.
So we are.
Is there any questions from councillors?
Yeah, just to be
on
clear, we are changing, potentially looking at changing the operating hours. Would you like to reel them off again?
Drive through only from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. rather than 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. as stated in the agenda.
Councillor Temple has moved the motion. Anything to add to that?
Simply, it will give, my opinion, local residents a greater respite of 8 hours, which to my mind is still not quite enough. And I concur with everything Councillor Sinfield said earlier. But, it's the quality of people's lives at stake. And I believe that would give it a better outcome for local residents. I would personally like to extend it a bit more, but I'm hoping that my fellow councillors will accept this 1 hour.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sinfield is the second of the motion.
Nothing really. As I say, I'll be voting against the motion overall, but any improvements and improvements, I'm happy to support the amendments, which will probably confusingly then result in me voting against overall anyway.
Okay.
So that's for the
membership. Yep. So I have more discussion, councillors. Councillor Dudley?
Second
of which, Councillor
I've largely foreshadowed my view on this, but I don't vote against something unless I explain why, so I will be voting against it. With respect, Councillor, as I said, I still maintain that the Environment Protection Notice is the best opportunity for managing nuisance rather than we are literally discussing potentially an argument in Tascat over an hour. And whilst I appreciate that an hour sometimes means a lot and sometimes it doesn't mean as much, I think the reality of the situation is, even though it may sound like we're on the right track here for people in the gallery, the reality is the better way to approach this is through the Environmental Protection Notice. It will ensure that we get the outcome we want in protecting our local residents against nuisance. And it will ensure that we are not putting at risk both ratepayer funds in defending this position, but we could actually go through this entire process, which would delay everything for months on end, and we could end up with the same situation had we not done this amendment. So I'll be voting against it because I think there is a better way to go forward, which is as the development application currently stands.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly.
Yes, look, I'll be voting against it also. I think there's been a tremendous compromise with McDonald's to go from a 24-hour service to from 11 to 6, and I think that that would be accepted by the majority of the community.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other comments, councillors? No comments, no questions? I'm back to the second of the motion. Anything to add, Councillor Sinfield? Councillor Temple, anything to add? Bearing in mind, Councillor, we are voting on the amended motion, not the original motion. I'll put the motion, all those in favour of the motion as it stands now. Councillor Temple, Councillor Sinfield, all those against? Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley and Lowe. I couldn't get out, Daniel, excuse me. Motion is lost. Back to the original motion as it stands in our development application. Any other comments, councillors? If not, I will go to Councillor Smedley as the second of the motion for anything further, councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm particularly interested in the youth of the area of Prospect Vale and the Meander Valley generally and throughout the local area. Many young people take up positions with McDonald's, and this is a passport into the world of work and success in the workforce and life in general. When I visit other McDonald's restaurants in South Launceston and Kings Meadows, I'm always keen to see who's working. And many of the young adolescent boys and girls from the area, Prospect Vale, Hadston area that I know, who are involved in our sporting clubs at work at these restaurants. So that's a really good thing. Any new restaurant that's available in the Prospect Vale area will no doubt provide opportunities for the youth from throughout the Meander Valley to enter the workforce for at least a generation based on the success of the developer in this regard in Northern Tasmania. So that's a really positive thing. Secondly and finally, once again, I'll just reiterate, our planners have done a tremendous job. As I mentioned earlier, it's certainly the most comprehensive treatment that I've seen of any matter that's come before council. There are comprehensive permit conditions and notes, including more than 150 clauses by my count, that have been put in place for this development, and that gives me the required assurance that this development can proceed with the belief that the benefits for the community will outweigh the concerns, so I'll be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Lohner has moved the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. We've been talking about TASCAT, and it's really bad to talk in acronyms. That means the Tasmanian Civil and Administrative Tribunal. So if this gets thrown out today, McDonald's can then take counsel to TASCAT and it probably wouldn't go in our favour. So to wrap up, I want to be clear that this is already zoned general business, so it's been that for a long time. McDonald's will change how the community looks and feels, particularly for those people who are really, really close. There's no doubt about that. McDonald's have come some way to address their concerns. I do really believe it would have been so much nicer if you just walked around and knocked on some doors. And I really hope that for any future developments that you put your shoes on and that you do that, and I say that with respect. It's not easy to go up and knock on doors and say hello to people. Councillors have to do that quite a lot. But please, I think it would have saved you some time and money. I am confident that if this is approved today, that council will monitor it. And it's up to the community to make sure that you are the someone who rings up council and says, it's been noisy, it's been smelly, whatever your nuisance complaint is, don't think that your next door neighbour is going to do it, because everyone thinks that someone will, and often we don't like to be the someone. So please, the community needs to get behind this and make sure council knows. Fair enough. So I take comfort that it will be monitored. If it was up to me, I think McDonald's 8am to 8pm with no drive-through would be perfectly okay. But this is what it is. You go around any big city and you can get drive-through anything you like. And it's just how things are moving ahead. So I am reluctantly supporting it, because I know that if we throw this out today, it will go to TASCAT and it will be approved.
Thank you, Councillor. On the basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
That's Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley, Loader, and against Councillor Sinfield and Councillor Temple. Motion has passed. Thank you, councillors. For those in the gallery that wish to leave now, you may do so, and we're moving on to 23.1.
I'll just suspend the meeting for 5 minutes and we'll come back at 4.25. Okay, so I'll just reopen the meeting at 4.27, and we are now on to Planning Authority 24-0098, 23 Whiteleys Road, Meander. I've got a couple of people registered to speak, but if you'd like to come up, you can. I don't know if I'm going to go first, please. So just if you just state your name, where you're from, and you've got 3 minutes to speak, and I'll ding the bell at 2 minutes 30 seconds.
Right, no worries. I'm Stephen Johnson. I live on the property, behind the property 25 Whiteleys Road, above where the development is happening, or going to happen, or maybe not, or whatever. One of my concerns is like the catchment area. The development application is to pipe the stormwater down through the property. I think the developers have underestimated the catchment area. Piping it, there's a lot of runoff comes down through that property. And they've allowed, or they estimated it was 17 hectares. When I Googled it, the catchment area, I come with over 25 hectares of catchment area. So the water off my property will run into them pipes. They're going to have open grates, like with grates on top of the pipes to catch the water. Concerns about grass and hay and that going, filling them grates over, then will flood the properties below it if they block up. And also, what else? Lots of little things. So on the pipes on the development, on the property below where they're going to develop, they've already piped it through there, and there is intentions on upgrading them pipes to 675 mil pipes. So on last Friday, where the pipes come out into the neighbourhood of the son's property, it actually flooded the paddock, and then the water comes out of that paddock back into the council, onto the council property, onto the road, and goes under the road down into where the hall is. So if they upgrade onto 675 mil pipes out into the paddock, where it goes back into the council pipes, is only 450 mils. So I think they've the council's infrastructure probably needs to be upgraded. Potentially will have to be upgraded if this goes ahead. So yeah. And then if them properties below get flooded, who's responsible for the water, for the runoff, like runoff off my property onto the one that's going to be developed? Who's responsible if the houses now get flooded below? Is that council's responsibility or the landowners above? So, yeah, I think that's about all I have to object. Concerns. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's very beautiful. If you could just state your name and where you're from, and I'll ding the bell at 2 minutes and 30.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Greg Barco. Me and my wife, we moved over from the mainland. We bought number 9, Whiteleys Road. And during those heavy rainfalls we had over the last couple of weeks, one morning there I come outside and we've got the stormwater drains on 2 sections of our property on the boundaries. And one there's a huge amount of runoff down through that 23. There's a huge slope down there. The water just barrels down there and goes into the grate behind our property. When it's really pours down, it really runs really fast. And it's that wet there, we get a lot of seepage down around our carport. And when was it, a couple of days ago, Sharon, when I come outside after heavy rain one night and we had about 2 inches in our carport. And it was just flowing through our carport and down the driveway. And, it was quite a fair amount of water. And I'd say where our entry door is at the back of the house is probably that close to being going in because we're on a concrete slab. So we're really concerned about the water runoff into our property. Yeah, that's about it.
Thank you. Were there any other speakers on this item?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cheryl Farnco. I'd just like to add to what Greg has said in regards to the water coming into our property. When it's in the greater drain, it literally is sounding like a waterfall at full bore. It's just full on. And it's also got to the point now, because of all the rain, it's not getting into the ground, so it's coming via the hill in under our carport as well. And as Greg has mentioned, we moved across from the mainland 6 weeks ago. We still have boxes with belongings in that carport, and it's damaged a lot of my antiques, my mother and father's belongings that I brought with me. And I just don't want it to happen anymore, pretty much. I'd like something done about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So if there's no more speakers to that item, I'll just call for someone to move that motion. Councillor Dudman, is there a seconder? Councillor Kelly? As the mover of the motion, Councillor Dudman, would you like to speak first?
Sure. Thank you for the representations you made. I think my major concern does relate to the water flow. Especially that bottleneck that Mr. Johnson referred to, and making sure that this development won't impact upon neighbouring properties in terms of an increase of water and the way it's being directed. So I don't know if you'd like me to withhold my questions until or go now. So I guess what is your response to the water plans and the infrastructure, in particular where that I think 600 goes into a 450.
Sorry, 2 seconds. The general manager would like to make a comment.
Look, I just wanted to draw councillors' attention to a comment from the Barcos there that this application is for the subdivision and the conditions that are recommended in our agenda, they aren't related to their property. So I think there was a comment there previously about what council was going to do about it. That's not a council responsibility at this point in time. We're talking about the prospective conditions that would apply to a permit if approved by council and the relevant proposed condition from council's town plan would be number two. So I guess I'll just draw that attention to that. And
thank you, the General Manager. I respect that reminder. My question stands in terms of the response of the water flow. Is there, I guess, you've obviously made the recommendations in terms of you think that this is suitable. I guess, could you provide a response in terms of what's been described?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. The application proposed the extension of the stormwater, of Council's stormwater network, and proposed to plumb the stormwater from the lots to the network. The information provided has been assessed and reviewed by Council's Infrastructure Services Department. They have provided correspondence back to the applicant on that. There is an understanding of what is the likely works required to achieve a satisfactory stormwater outcome, and that has been conditioned as such in the planning permit through the conditions. I don't know if the Director of Infrastructure or potentially Civil Engineer James would like to add anything to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. My name's James, Senior Civil Engineer at Council. So, I start with the catchment that Stephen mentioned. So the catchment area, I have done my individual review of the catchment area and I consider that's a reasonable catchment based on the spatial information available on council website and the list map. So that's generally consistent with all the public information. And also I've conduct multiple site visits to determine the low point and high point of the road, which defines the overland flow path. So, because it's always a bit of uncertain when determine the catchment, and it's critical for underground system. So we have include a major stormwater system to be constructed as a condition, which also include climate change factor, and this would be designed construct for 1 in 100 year storm event. So this major system would be including as an underground and a safe overland flow path for all the residents, including children, and safe for the developers. So this overland flow path would be constructed from the top end of 23 Wiley's Road to the bottom end, which would continue around the existing property of number 9 and number 7.
Yep, and just within that condition two that's recommended for council today, it does state that detailed engineering design documentation for stormwater services are to be approved by council's director of infrastructure services. So that is a condition of an approval, should council approve it as recommended.
Councillor Dunn, I might just go to Councillor Kelly as a seconder, and then if you have further questions, I'll come straight back to you. Would you like to go, Councillor Kelly?
Yes, look, I'd like to thank the Barcos and Mr Johnson for coming in and having a conversation with us and filling us with some knowledge, local knowledge. It appears as though the Barcos have water problems already without this development going forward. It would have been previous to the questions that we've had with our engineers before that there will be no titles issued until the water situation is improved by the developers. I will, however, throw Matthew under the bus here, if I may. And once the development's forward and if it does go further down the road, pardon the pun, and becomes a council problem, as has been pointed out by Mr Johnson, what's the solution for us as a council?
Would you like to take that, Matthew, or do you want to pass it on today?
I suppose I can make a comment here. We've got responsibility of management of the entire network. So at the end of the day, if there's development upstream, council needs to consider what that means downstream. So, I mean, the pipe network down that Stephen referred to down near the hall, that has discharge points to allow water to come out as well as go in. So there's already some inbuilt facility down there to handle additional water that can't be catered for within the pipe network. I suppose it's about from there we need to reassess that circumstance and any of the downstream catchment as part of it, any flow-on effects from approval of the development such as this.
Thank you.
David, do you have anything to add? Are you happy? Yep. Anything else, Councillor Kelly?
Okay, General Manager. Sorry, I just feel as though I do need to make the point also that I guess each property owner has a responsibility to maintain the assets within their title as well. So don't know the circumstances of the Barcos instance there, but we've had a few instances over the last week, as you'd appreciate, Councillor, and some of those may be as a result of the network, as the Director's pointed out there, but some are also related to a block drain within the property title and that sort of thing as well. So there's a level of responsibility for property owner also.
Like my ferret cage is washed out.
So, Councillor Dunn, sorry, go back to you. Did you have anything you'd like to say now?
I think I'll hear the rest of the discussion.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I believe Mr Johnston asked who is liable for any damage due to stormwater. I believe in my hearing he pose the question, is someone upstream liable or who has liability? I think we could just clarify that, it may be helpful.
That would depend on the cause of the stormwater, Councillor. I mean, you could probably talk about a heavy rainfall event, so it really would depend on the root cause of the damage that you're talking about.
Well, perhaps if I could just ask the question, is the landowner upstream potentially liable, financially liable for any damage?
Depends if there was conditions on their development application or their building permit around infrastructure that's within their property, and if they were to cause a problem for a downstream property, then it's possible, but yeah, it would depend, as I said.
Councillor Simpkin?
Yes, apologies that I never got out to look at this in the last few days since we saw it or first notified, but I have been on Stephen Johnson's property previously. My question, I guess, is, and my recollection is, that part of this catchment area would actually, whatever the word is, transect the Whiteleys Road itself. And is there the ability, in terms of, you know, at least partially addressing the issue of, if we're requiring the road to be upgraded to bitumen for the length of the subdivision, is there the ability to partially mitigate overland flows down the road itself, which, you know, may at least partially contribute to the heavy event loads on the system, in sending the water, if you like, getting it to the bottom of the hill by a different method. Has that been factored into this? And will it be part of, you know, I'm looking at the picture here on page 1037, for example. What avenue is there for, you know, sharing the load, so to speak, in terms of the overland flow, in terms of the issues that we're dealing with?
Brent, is that something you... I can see James nodding, so I don't know whether you want to say.
Defer to James.
Make a comment. Thank you.
Yeah, that has been considered. So currently there's two road crossing under Wiley Street, Wiley's Road, and sends water to the number 23 Wiley's Road. So we are open, because it's still a concept level, the final detail in terms of pipe sizing and the size of the overland flow path and the easement will be determined at the engineering design stage. So we are open the idea of upgrade of Wiley's Road open drain, which has been included as a condition, and full section of the frontage of this development site will be upgraded to a bitumen road as well. So if we condition and request them the same water down along Wiley's Road, that would impact the four existing driveway. So there's a consideration, and there's also a power pole built right next to the urban drain. So there's other impacts that we might make and could be quite costly and make this development not feasible.
And so the four driveways, I take it, are on the same side as the subdivision proposed?
The driveway would be different to the subdivision proposed.
No, the ones you mentioned, there were four downstream.
The four is the existing, which are the
on that
5,
same
7,
side
9,
of the road.
Yes.
So is there a possibility of open drainage on the other side of the road? Even sharing it, you know.
Yeah, we don't change the direction of the natural flow. I consider it's a safer option to continue the natural flow direction, and in terms of just upgrading them, because that's also the intention of what it's proposed to us. So we just make sure that we do it to our satisfactions, which including us providing inlet structure, which has been mentioned. There's insufficient inlet structure. So by having an underground system, which allow us to put in more, having an underground system in the middle of the block, piping the natural depression, that allows us to put in more capture points, which is going to be more inlet pits and or inlet manholes. So there would be significant reduce of the surface runoff as a result of the subdivision.
I think one of the representatives also mentioned about, you know, we're increasing the pipe size to 600 or 675 mil, but further down it's only 400. Is that factored into?
That has factored into that consideration. So this subdivision, we're going to discharge water into a council open drain, which ultimately end up into underground systems again. But I don't see that's a restriction of this subdivision because they are sending water to a council open drain. So the underground restriction down the track, I think it's a separate consideration that we might investigate separate to this development application.
Thank you. Is there any other comments, Councillor Loder?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I did go for a drive out to Whiteleys Road because, well, I've been to Meander many times. I've never actually been up Whiteleys Road, so I went for a look. And to say it was soggy is a very big understatement. I'm not an engineer, and I do have faith in council staff, and I have read all the conditions many times, and there have been discussions in workshops and before the meeting today. But I really hear your concerns. I really, really do. But I have to have faith in what the council staff are saying, and that these conditions will mean that it will be safe for people to live there and that they won't be flooded. I have to have faith in that, because otherwise if we approve this and we already have people who live on Whiteleys Road, then we'll have four more lots of people living on Whiteleys Road who potentially might have things damaged like you have, which I'm very sad to hear about. So I'm going to have to vote for it, but with the utmost faith and confidence in council staff that the conditions they've put in place will be met and that it will be okay for everyone out there on Whiteleys Road.
Thank you, Councillor Loder. So if there's no more comments, I'll just go back to Councillor Kelly as the seconder of the motion.
Yeah, look, the only thing, I'd just like to thank the representatives for coming in. We have had a lot of discussion around the stormwater. And I'm satisfied that, you know, we'll be able to get it achieved because the titles won't be issued unless it satisfies the staff. And, yeah, I'll be voting for it.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Dunman.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Exactly the same as Councillor Kelly. I was most concerned about the water flow, but I think he's said it exactly how I feel as well. I'm content to vote for this based on the work of the staff and the parameters we're putting on this application. So thank you to the staff as well for the work.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, so with that, I'll just put it to the vote. So all those in favour, can they say aye? Raise your hands. Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley. Oh, okay, it's unanimous. I don't have to read everybody out. Thank you very much. The motion's passed. We can invite the mayor back to the chair. And
excluding the mayor.
Yes, excluding the mayor. And if those that are in the chamber don't want to sit through the rest of the meeting, they're welcome to sit as well. So thank you for coming along.
Thank you, James.
I think you're bigger than Steve now, aren't you, Mr.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You should have heard him stir it each
time. Every round, you're watching fat jokes.
Really?
Okay.
Thank you.
Page do we move to?
1,185.
I can tell you.
That's right.
1,185.
Exactly.
Adhesion orders.
It's are we adjourning the meeting again, are we?
Maybe. Maybe it did work.
As you do.
And I'll get back out of the room.
That's the easiest to be able to do. 1,185.
Yeah. Oh, that was a shabby page. I did have it.
185.
Sorry. You're having an eating competition, you'll see.
See, top Steph, what's going on?
I'm hot.
Shit, I just fired my train there again. Sorry.
We are still recording, aren't we?
Probably.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Sorry.
Just thought
what we mentioned.
Right, so we've moved out of planning authority. That's been stated. Very good. So moving on, policy number 62, page 1185. A move and a seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, I thought Councillor Kelly was, he scratched his head, but seconder, please. Thank you. Councillor Lader. Councillor Dudman has moved the motion.
I don't really have a lot to say about this one, because obviously there's only minor alterations. But of course, I will always take the opportunity to thank Krista for her work. It is great to see such dedication to our policies, and always happy to work with her in the development of them to make sure that they are the best that they possibly can be.
Moving along, Councillor Lader.
I have nothing to add.
Thank you, Councillor Lader. Open up for discussion, councillors. Nothing to add?
Not without it being cheeky now.
Right, and we've done that training, so we don't do that, councillor Sibley. Well done. Moving along. Nothing to add. I'll put the motion in. All of those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you. Community wellbeing draft, community strategy plan, page 1191. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second, please? Councillor Lader, thank you. Seconder, Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Lader is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I am really excited to see this draft community strategic plan be available for public comment. I think it's a really exciting document. Everyone in the municipality has had an opportunity to have input into this. There have been the drop-in sessions. There's also been all the opportunity to do surveys. So, and now the community can actually come back and say, well, is it captured? Have we got it right? I'm also excited to see our new, what are we calling it, the fancy name, place brand logos and colour schemes and everything in the document. I think it looks really great. I'm excited about it, obviously. I particularly love the snapshot on page 8 of the draft, which is page 1201 of the agenda. It's easy to get a really good picture of the Meander Valley from that. Likewise, the next page, the strategic planning framework, it's clear, it's easy to read. So, yes, I think it's great, and I hope that the community gives us lots of feedback.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cameron?
Yeah, I agree with you, Councillor Loader. I think there's been a lot of work going into this over quite a long amount of time, and I think it's a really good outcome, and remind the public that it is a draft, so speak now or forever hold your peace. But, love to hear what people in the community think about it.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. I too would hope that the community look at this and give us some feedback, good, bad, or other. There's nothing worse than putting something out and get no feedback back. So that's something. Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, I'll be voting against this, not because I don't want community feedback, but the first part of the motion says we approve it, the draft, and that's a bit beyond me. So, but absolutely happy to get the community's input, which is most important.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other comments, councillors? No? With your microphone, please, Councillor Temple.
Could we just clarify Councillor Sinfield's point there? I was reading that it was we're approving it for community feedback, or are we approving the document? I just want to be clear here.
Yep, answer that for you. Councillor, so the decision that we are asking of Council today is to approve the draft plan and that we would release that draft plan out to call for community comment, Councillor. So what will happen is any comments that are received will be relayed back to you all for discussion, and then we will seek endorsement of a final community strategic plan for the next 10 years later this year. So once we've received that comment, that will be provided back to you to consider in the formation of the final plan. So you may elect to make some changes based on feedback from community members, or they may say it's great as is. So we don't know. I guess we shall find out in due course.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, we as councillors yet haven't found any issues that we want to talk about. To my knowledge, there are a couple of things in there that I find queerisome. And should we deal with those sort of things now, or just sit on it until we get the community feedback?
Probably raise a good point there, Councillor. So we, I'm not sure if it's evident to everybody, but we have been working on this plan since October, November last year. Councillors have been involved with that throughout the entire course of that the project. We've had four public sessions, about 120 people that attended those. We have received surveys, we had direct engagement. So the comment back was about 330. Those were summarised and provided back to council. Councillors consider that at about five workshops over the course of the past 10 months. So I guess you, as a group, you have received a considerable amount of input to this point, but you will still have another opportunity to finalise that prior to the adoption of the plan later this year.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Phil.
Yeah, I would have simply preferred that the recommendation was that council receives, or some word to along those lines, the draft or Nate's receipt of the draft thing, and that we release it for public comment. To me, that would have been and we have done that a number of times in my time over the years, over various things. The Deloraine sporting precinct comes to mind. So we weren't endorsing it per se, we were acknowledging receipt of where it's got to thus far. That's one example that comes to mind.
So, Councillor, I guess thinking back to those times you were talking about receipt, it would be a receipt of an externally produced report, whereas this is our report. We've all been contributing to it, so it's approval of our report that we are agreeing we are now in a position to release back to the community.
Any other discussion, Councillors? If not, Councillor Cameron is the second of the motion.
No, I think to that.
Councillor Loder is the move of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I commend this to the public to please have a good look at it, give us your feedback. I absolutely love the fact that we are in a new age where we're consulting with community, and I hope that we get lots of feedback.
Thank you. Motion, all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dunman, Smedley, Loder against. Thank you. Infrastructure services, discontinuity policy number 4, subsidised waste disposal for community groups. Someone like move, someone like second. Councillor Dudman, thank you. A seconder. Any seconders? Councillor Smedley, thank you.
I thought John was.
Councillor Dudman has the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Just quickly, happy to support this. I think it's important to note that we're not removing the ability for subsidised waste. We're just removing this policy because the opportunity exists in other mechanisms within the council for community groups. It's just this particular policy hasn't been used in some time, if ever. And so, as Councillor Sinfield likes to tell us, why have a policy if we're not using it?
Councillor Dunman, Councillor Smedley.
I concur with Councillor Dunman's summation.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield.
Couldn't possibly oppose those words. Sounds reasonable to me.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour say aye. Raise hands. That is unanimous. Thank you. 14.2, page 12.18. Somebody would like to move. Somebody would like to second the approval to occupied road reserves. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Loder, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover.
Incredibly dedicated to our policies. Once again, happy to support this one. I think it's important that we have a process for establishing
when our road reserves can be occupied with different business items, and that's what this does. So I think we can take this read.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I think at the heart of this policy is council supporting the use of road reserves for appropriate use. I'm particularly pleased to see that skip bins have been included, because with the number of developments going on at the moment, you often see a skip bin on the road reserve and you wonder if it's allowed to be there or not. So I'm pleased to see that that's included, and hopefully skip bins will be placed in a more appropriate way and safer and kept tidier, hopefully.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors.
I've only just noticed this, hadn't even thought about it before, but it now includes extra words that, or business signs within townships is how it ends up. Is there ever a case where we have or are or intend in now, historically or in the future, to do something outside of a township setting? Is it ever relevant?
Well, that's a good question.
Didn't. As I say, it's only just literally then I suddenly went on.
Yeah, through you, Chair, I'm not aware of any instances where signage is being approved outside of the road reservation, outside of the townships. But I guess if the need is there, we can look at it.
Yep.
Right. Any other comments, discussions, councillors? Anything to add? As second the motion, Councillor Lowder. Councillor Dudman has the movement. No, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye on raise your hands. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Motion to close the meeting to the public. Councillor Kelly. Seconder, please. Councillor Dudman. Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye on raise your hands.
Aye.
Against? That is unanimous. Councillor Kelly, Councillor Dudman has the movers. Thank you. Meeting will close to the public. Thank you.